I searched the Lord this morning, and he said to just stay right where we're at and kind of take a peek at some of his challenges in this particular feast that he celebrated. And I'd like to kind of restart at 16, where, you know, he's been prodded, because where and how did this man get such learning, having studied? And Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me." Well, you've got to remember that the Jewish mindset, okay, are really understanding that from the teachings of Moses, they had a set of rules to follow. Very, very difficult rules. And if they didn't follow them, there was a penalty attached. And we still live, most of the time, in some of it. It's still down. It's in our rules with the countries that we're in, all over the world. It's been adapted as the law is the way to salvation. And really, the law was completed in Christ. So in the Lord Jesus, the completion of the law is now something that you and I can look at when the Father said to his Son, you know, you've completed the job. That is a reality. Yet the majority of people and the church, when I say that, I mean the church in general, is still operating in it. It's still under the Mosaic coordinates. So Jesus is telling even us today, my teaching is not my own. It comes from whom? From him who sent me. Now, if you're not aware that you are a spirit being operating in this natural realm, that doesn't make sense. Because now you and I can say the teachings we give out under the anointing of the Holy Spirit are not your teachings. They're coming from the Spirit within you. And the more you release yourself to him, the more he's going to be able to teach those around you, sometimes just by your example. If nothing else works, use mouth. If nothing else works by your example, you may have to use your mouth. But the best way is by being an example. So when you're literally being on the job or in school or wherever you happen to be, your most valuable asset is your way of being at peace in the midst of all kinds of torment and all kinds of turmoil. Because those that don't know Jesus are looking at you and they are going to respond. They're going to respond, verse 20. "You are demon-possessed," the crowd answered. Notice it's the crowd that answers. "Who is trying to kill you?" Jesus said to them. "Who is trying to kill you?" And Jesus answered, verse 21, "I did one miracle and you are all astonished." That's the coming next level of the kingdom. In 1948, we had four blood moons. Israel was tested. This young man showed me this morning on his cell phone that the Northern Golan Heights in Israel have received rockets coming into Israel today and yesterday. What does that say? She's going to be tested again. she's going to be attacked again. I can tell you that Kim Clement prophesied in Paris, France, and the gentleman that will be with us the end of this week ministered in that same church. And Kim Clement prophesied that there would be a war and France would be involved with England and several other nations, and it would be a short war. But it was going to push the Muslim agenda down. So he even prophesied that what France did in the 1700s, when they dealt with the Ottoman Empire, and they literally squished the Ottoman Empire, they would do it again, with God's help.
The French.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. So, you know, I'm looking at all this and I'm saying, okay, God, you tell us to rejoice. Well, on the Christian level and the church level, 1948 is when there was such a revival in the United States of America that the average church people were literally overwhelmed by God's grace, where there was healing breaking out. Oral Roberts, William Branham, many others with incredible talents from God were able to minister to God's people in our country. What do you think's happening in 1968? No, that was 20 years, right? So you've got 20 years of progress. Then in 1968 is when the city of Jerusalem was reunited. But in the church, the charismatic renewal broke open. And it lasted from 68 to 79, where the Holy Ghost invaded the Roman church. And I'm a product of that. Okay? I accepted Jesus in 1967 on my knees in front of my kitchen sink. Okay? Which you were in last night. I was facing the TV, and Billy Graham was teaching about the love of Jesus Christ. Well, in the Roman church, you don't get too much about the love of Christ. You get a lot of rules and regulations from Moses, right or wrong. So what I was a byproduct of is those four blood moons were also a trigger in 1968. Israel gets affected, and the church gets affected. What do you think's happening in 2015? Israel gets affected.
Church will get affected.
Huh. The pattern is not there by accident. The pattern is there to let you see. Don't look at this as a problem season. Look at it as the past giving you an example of what's next. And when you see the path and the pattern, get ready, because your deliverance draws nigh. Verse 17 again. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. If anyone, so that's open to any individual, finds out whether my teaching comes from God, has to be that that person has to choose to do God's will. Verse 17, very important. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out. That's a he or a she. It doesn't matter, male or female. When that reality comes, it doesn't come by learning out of a book. It comes by visions. It comes by words of knowledge. It comes by a dream. It comes by ways of God communicating directly to you, because he's interested in a one-to-one relationship. Verse 18. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. So that means I can be a man of truth if I teach from the revelation that I have received. I can be a man or woman of truth if I teach from what I have received, not what other people try to teach you, and then you go out and copy somebody else's. Because what are you doing? You're under someone else's anointing. He is personally interesting to you because of what he's done in you individually. So, as believers and part of the body of Christ, look for revelation to teach others out of your experience. If you've never experienced it, somebody's going to detect that you're a fake. Well, did you ever listen to somebody teaching something that comes from another individual and they're trying to carry it out to someone else? It's not theirs. They don't own it. Because they've not lived it. And I used to question the Lord, why am I having such a hard time? Why is this struggle so ugly? Because it is ugly. But from that experience of the hardships, he's matured me so that I can see it as a building block to get me to go higher. And he wants each and every one of us to go as high as his son, Jesus Christ. He's our example. He's the one we follow. When we follow him, we're going to get the same kind of persecution. You're going to get laughed at. You're going to get mocked. I pray you don't get thrown in jail. He did. So being a man and a woman of truth is available to each and every individual. And then the next level is, it says there is nothing false about him. Well, there was nothing in our Savior that had an agenda to serve himself. If you go to John chapter 5, which is probably one of my favorite scriptures, I used it the other night. John chapter 5, just for a moment, verse 19. Again, you'll notice it's written in red if you have a red letter edition, okay? He says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. What and how do you and I see? But by visions, dreams, moments of revelation that come, sometimes through the Word, yes? Sometimes through someone teaching you and you're, oh my God, now I got it. Now you didn't maybe see it in the natural, but you perceived something connected. Yes? Yeah. That's seeing. Even though your eyes didn't see it, you still see it. When you're dreaming, your eyes are closed. Are you seeing? Yes. Your spiritual eyes are open. Then there's the next level, which I taught on a few weeks ago. When your Holy Spirit decides to open your eyes and you get to see other things that are around you that you normally would not see. Did Jesus perceive and see the demons that were around him? Ah, yes, of course. Did he see it all the time? He was just like Adam. If God opened his eyes, he saw. If God, because he was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit within him. Who are you depending on? Same Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
That just hit home for you, huh? I can see your head bobbing up and down. It's okay. It's good. Mm-hmm. All right. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Well, how can he do something that he's already seen Papa do without the Holy Ghost showing him? So he's not doing something out of a good idea coming from his mind. He's operating from his spirit on a 24/7 basis. Every 24 hours, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Now, verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. So again, the visions are coming from Papa. Yes? Mm-hmm. The next one is probably even more difficult. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. Verse 30. By myself, I can do almost anything I want. Is that what it says? By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. That's why I got rabbit ears. My judgment is just, for I see not to please myself, but him who sent me. So in other words, it's not all about me, myself, and I, the three great kings, right? So thinking about, you know, your purpose, to go back to chapter 7, you're looking at our God as an incredible creator who's not done creating. And he sent his spirit so that we could become like the Anointed One and take us higher than we've ever been before. So we're going to continue trying to, let's say, submit to him. Because that's, I think, the secret. When you submit to him and you release yourself to him over and over, you will never really be disappointed. Because he's going to keep revealing things to you. He's going to keep opening things up. Maybe your ears, maybe your eyes, maybe your heart. Because your heart sometimes will speak to you. Yes? You're going down the highway. You want to take a right. And the Holy Spirit says, don't. But you want to take the shortcut anyway. What are you doing?
You follow the others.
You're following your head. Your reasoning gets you into trouble. Because I've done it. And taken the right, in spite of God saying, go straight. Use the other road. You go down the road a quarter of a mile or a mile and a half, and there's a big accident, and you're tied up in traffic for the next 2 hours. What have you done?
Disobeyed.
Disobeyed, yes. Not only disobeyed, but where you should have landed safely, you're now going to be 2 hours late. Or whatever. Right?
Right.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, when we learn to be sensitive, and that sensitivity is going to develop over the years, and more, you're going to be aware. Holy Spirit's going to say, uh-uh, don't do this. Or, do it now. Don't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow you won't have time because I'm going to tie you up into something else. Oh, now that hit home, huh? Yes or no?
Uh-huh.
And don't we have a good number of excuses?
That's not good ones.
But we have them, right? Okay. Does that produce any questions?
No.
No?
I've experienced it too. But I obeyed, and my car didn't just stop somewhere. I should have been in the highway, but I've been in a small road instead.
Yeah.
I obeyed. I don't know, turn right, not going to the highway. Okay, it's longer, but I'll go.
So you knew that you had obeyed.
Yep.
Good. See, and that's how he can preserve your life. Okay. This gentleman that I was connected to from Texas, his name is John Paul Jackson, and he just passed away just a few months ago. And I kind of miss him because... Well, he was a major teacher in the body of Christ for the United States and many other nations, actually. And the Lord took him home, and this guy wasn't happy. He was not happy at all because he was such a quality man of God. And I wanted him to be around, you know, for a long time yet. Because he's a little younger than me, and that did not please me to see him go home too soon. Okay. So I went to the Lord with it, and I said, Lord, you know, what are you really doing? I mean, you know, this man is such a powerful gift to the body of Christ, and, you know, he's got so much to give, you know, and why are you taking him home now? You know, I'm being selfish. Lord, I'm selfish. I want him around. And the Holy Spirit said, what about St. Paul? I said, well, what about St. Paul? Well, he said, didn't St. Paul leave all his letters for you? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, what does that have to do with John Paul Jackson? 2,000 years ago. Paul was here, but now, you know, we had this other John Paul, and I like this guy, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said, do you think his teachings are going to be given throughout the earth, like I took care of Paul's teachings? Oh boy. Now I'm on the hook, because he's got me. You understand? Because I can tell what Jesus is doing. You know? He says, you're being selfish. I want him with me now for a purpose. Your selfishness is visible, but I've left behind his teachings, his books, all of what he has received is in the earth. Get them when I tell you. I rest my case. I was jealous. Lord, you know. Let's close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit,
I'm so glad you're inside me.
I'm so glad you're inside me.
Don't stop.
Don't stop.
Keep teaching me.
Keep teaching me.
Keep me sensitive.
Keep me sensitive.
And if I try to go my own way,
and I can't go my own way,
correct me.
Correct me.
Whatever you have to do.
Whatever you have to do.
I'm giving you permission.
I'm going to give you permission.
Pull my leg.
Pull my leg.
Give me a little slap somewhere.
Give me a slap somewhere.
Don't let me make a mistake.
Don't let me make a mistake.
I'm in my right mind right now.
I'm in right mind.
I know what I'm saying.
I know what I'm saying.
And I'm prepared.
I'm prepared.
To obey you.
To obey you.
Every step of the way.
Every step of the way.
As best I can.
As best I can.
But I'm depending on grace.
But I'm depending on grace.
And more grace.
And more grace.
And more grace.
And more grace.
And favor.
And favor.
And more favor.
And more favor.
And even more favor.
And even more favor.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.